Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. Before I forget, next week is also Tuesday evening at 8:15 p.m. Be'ezor Hashem. I'm traveling this Thursday and next Thursday. So instead of canceling this year, I'm moving it to Tuesday evening at 8:15 for those who can join us. Thank you. So I'm not talking to myself. For those unable to move their schedule, please listen to the recording, which Be'ezor Hashem will be posted next week is also January the 16th, 8:15 p.m. on Tuesday evening. Okay, let's get right started with our learning. I want to thank tonight's sponsor, Tizkei Mitzvos Ulamaisim Tovim. Our sponsor tonight is Gail Hoffman. She is sponsoring a memory of her father-in-law, Yaakov Shimon ben Elchanan Pasach, whose yahrzeit is Chaf Tes Teves. So we are learning Bo Bayam. It is Oral Yom Chaf Tes Teves. And Gail wrote about her father-in-law. He loved the Kodesh Baruch Hu and he loved Eretz Yisrael. He was rare amongst his friends who kept Shabbat all the years when pressure was very great not to, and he also loved his family. Nothing would give him greater joy than to have all his children and grandchildren squeeze into his teeny apartment for a Shabbat or a Yom Tov meal. This is really about the essence of a Jew should have, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos, and family. So this shir should be a schas for the Aliyah Neshama and Zechira Latova of Yaakov Shimon ben Elchanan Pasach on the occasion of his yahrzeit, Chaf Tes Teves Bo Bayom, as we learn. And we thank Gail very, very much, of course, for her sponsorship of tonight's shir. Let us get right into our learning. So, you know, I didn't know what shir to prepare. I didn't know what to teach. This morning, the news from Eretz Yisrael was very, very difficult. Rashi tells us in Perek Yitas of Shemos, Nafal mimenu rav, afilu yechidi, chashuv afanai kirov. Kosh Baruch Hu says, even if one Jew falls, is considered before him like many. So I'm going to begin on the screen share of the handout that I prepared. All right, so could you see my screen? Which our Dvarim we would rather not see, but such is the matzav. This morning, Chav Ches Teves, Tuesday, January 9th, the IDF announced the deaths of 9 soldiers. It's actually very hard to see from these images, so I am going to read their names because it's important that we know. The IDF announced this morning the deaths of Dennis. I'm starting on this picture, actually. I'm making my pointer. All right. Dennis Krokmalov Wexler, 32 years old. Master Sergeant Amit Moshe Shachar, 25 years old. Ron Efrimi, 26 years old. Roy Avram Maimon, 24 years old. Akiva Yasinski, 35 years old. Second. David Schwartz, 26 years old. Gabriel Bloom, 27 years old. Yakir Hexter, 26 years old, and Ro Ital, 19 years old. Tehei Zechron Baruch, we saw this morning that the IDF cleared for publication the fallen soldiers as of this morning. So I really didn't know what to speak about in Pirkei Avos. Very difficult day. Achechem kol beis Yisrael yivku es asreifa asher sarav Hashem. So we're going to talk about the Mishnah that we're going to get to soon. First, I'm going to begin with a terror attack from 2017. I'm sure some of you remember. I remember. I did not even realize that it was in 2017. Well, I mamish did not realize. So this summer will be 7 years ago. You remember this well. I do. July 2017. Thousands of mourners gathered in the central Israeli city of Modi'in on Sunday, July 2017, as the 3 members of the Salmon family, murdered by Palestinian terrorists in a deadly stabbing attack, were laid to rest. Yosef Salmon, 70, and his two children, Chaya, Psalm 146, and Elad, Psalm 136, were killed by a 19-year-old Palestinian who infiltrated the West Bank settlement of Chalamish on Friday night and attacked them in their home as they were preparing for a Shalom Zachar for a new grandchild. Michal Salman, the wife of Elad, 36, who was murdered, spoke of the deep partnership they shared and of her fears for the future without him. "Now you are not here for me, and it scares me," she said in a near whisper. 13 years ago, I met a quiet, calm, and stable man. I felt certain in my decision to spend our lives together. You are a perfect husband. We could not have asked for more. You are excited by our children. You cared about them. You played with them like a child yourself." Michal thanked all those who supported her and the family. She too was in the home at the time of the attack. She saved their children by taking them upstairs and quiet and holding the door closed. I'm sure some of you remember the attack. Yes? No? Maybe? Yes. It was actually July 7th, 2017, which I did not realize. So this was published in the aftermath of the attack, which occurred on Lil Shabbat when they were getting ready for Shalom Zachar. "Peace be unto you, ministering angels, angels of the Most High. Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Asharis, Malachei Elyon." We sing these words on Friday night as the Sabbath begins. We sing them with loved ones gathered around our table, their precious faces bathed in the soft light of the Shabbat candles. We sing these words in the sanctity of our homes. The father, son, and daughter stabbed to death this Shabbat surely sang these words too. In the last hour of their lives, they lifted their voices together in holy song. "Come in peace, angels of peace, angels of the Most High. Bring us the peace of the Shabbat," we implore the angels. We sense their presence in the hushed air around us. "Come in, come closer," we urge them in song. We can almost feel them brushing past us. The father, son, and daughter surely felt those angels too. "Baruchuni l'shal malachei shal malachei elyon. Bless me with peace, angels of Most High." We pray for tranquility and wholeness. "But of this I am certain, by the time your table is filled with children and grandchildren, you offer this prayer for them, for your children, always for them." In the last hour of his life, the father prayed for his family's well-being. "Seischam l'shal malachei shal malachei elyon. Go in peace, angels of the Most High." And thus we conclude the song. If the angels came in peace, if they blessed us in peace, Barchuni, if they blessed us in peace, their holy work is complete. We bid them farewell as they make their way back to the Most High until the next Shabbat. So I am wondering, were the angels still in the room when the gates of hell opened and a terrorist emerged lusting for Jewish blood? Did the angels witness the monster butcher, the father, the son, and the daughter? Did the angels hear the screams of the gravely injured mother? The mother, the matriarch of the family, was seriously injured. Did they feel the terror of the children hiding in the bedroom? Did they smell the metallic tang emanating from a kitchen drenched in blood? Did they sense the quaking, the convulsion of cosmic order when the innocent are murdered? And when at last they returned to the Most High, were the angels still weeping? In memory of Yossi, 70, Chaya, 46, and Elad, 36, Salmon, Hashem Yukom Dama. This was published on the blog of the Times of Israel website. It's called The Shabbat the Angels Wept. I had a long drive today back and forth to Paramus, New Jersey. I was listening to an interview with Hadass Lowenstern. I've spoken much actually about Hadass Lowenstern over a number of shiurim. I was listening to an interview with her on the podcast Living L'Chaim. And she said something very interesting. Either you've heard pieces by her or read articles or heard me speak about her in different shiurim. Hadass Lowenstern, her husband Elisha, was killed in battle in Gaza. He was either 36 or 38, I think 38, with six children. She says in the interview, "Was it on my wish list of things to do, become a widow before I was the age of 40? She said, "No, it wasn't on my list." She said, "But it was on God's list." She spoke in very eloquent English. So she said something very interesting. She said, "My husband did not die a hero. He lived as a hero." She said he lived a heroic life. He was always with a sefer, she said, always. At the most random times. She said, when it was time for me to give birth, she imitated herself panting. She was going, ha, 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 ha. And her husband Alicia says, Hadas, do you think I have a half an hour now to learn before the baby comes? And she says, yes, Alicia, you have a half an hour to learn. The last picture before he was killed, it's very famous. And she said three times everyone saw this picture, and I'm sure you saw it as well. Was Alicia sitting in a chair in the house of a terrorist. I'm sure you saw it. I saw it. She said, everyone saw this picture. Alicia was sitting, his comrade snapped the picture. He was sitting in the house of a terrorist just an hour before he was killed. In Gaza, did you see the picture? He was holding the Rambam. No? Oh, so many saw the picture. I saw the picture. He was holding the Rambam. She says, that's the last picture. She says, of course he was learning the Rambam. She says, because that's what Alicia always did. She says, I have pictures of him learning all over in the most unexpected situations. The last picture taken of him was Alicia learning the Rambam in Gaza because she said he always had a sefer. She said something so interesting. She said, when Alicia's mother saw the picture, she says, you know, she's a mother. And what did his mother say? Why didn't he take off his shoes? He was wearing his boots. You could see in the picture the angle, like his legs are spread out. He's sitting on a chair. He's holding the Rambam. His legs are spread. You could see he's wearing his boots. And she says, what did Alicia's mother say? Why didn't he take off his shoes, his boots? So Hadass says, you know, when they're in the tank, they can't take off their boots. And Alicia's mother says, to go 3, 4, or 5 days always wearing your boots, it's not healthy. So she told her son, when you're not in the tank, when you have, I don't want to use the word time off. I'm not exactly sure what the correct word is. But when you're not actively needing your boots, you should at least take off your boots to give your feet time to rest. Give your feet air to breathe. Take off your shoes. Hadass said that Alicia's mother was perturbed. She says, he didn't even take off his shoes. Why is he wearing his boots? Hadass said, this was my husband, Alicia. He didn't even want to take the time to take off his shoes. He only wanted to learn Torah. Another thing she said, we're getting quickly to the Mishnah where we're going tonight. Another thing she said is that people ask her, did he leave a goodbye letter? She said, I will tell you a story. A fellow soldier in the tank asked him, did you leave a goodbye letter? And he answered, I have worked very hard my whole life on my relationships and myself, so I don't need to leave a goodbye letter. Everyone in my life knows how I feel about them. Everyone in my life knows how I feel about Am Yisrael, and everyone knows how I feel about Eretz Yisrael and Torah. The way I live my life is my goodbye letter. And Hadass said, I don't need a letter. She said, I have so many letters, anniversaries, chagim, erev Shabbat, birthdays. She says, he was always writing me letters, love letters. She said, I have so many letters. But she said, a goodbye letter? I don't need a goodbye letter, she said, because, and he didn't need to leave one, because the whole way Alicia lived his life, everybody knew who he was, what was important to him, the values with which he lived for. Everybody in his life knew how he felt about them. The children knew, she says, I have 6 children, how much he loved them. She says, the baby's not even talking yet. She says, when the baby says, Abba, she says, that's it. She says, Hashem, I'm going to say, I can't take it. When the baby starts to talk, when the baby was 10 months old, starts to say, Abba. But she said, Alicia did not need to leave a goodbye letter. He worked so hard to live a heroic life that everyone knew who he was while he lived. And there was nothing left unsaid that he needed to say. Let us go back to our handout on the Mishnah we are going to speak about this evening. So the Mishnah tells us, and it's a Mishnah that we have done before. We're going to examine it again, learning again. Mishnah tells us, could you see I'm back on my handout, Pirkei Avos 4:16, it says here. Yeah, thank you very much. So the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says, Ha'olam hazeh domo leprozdor, bifnei ha'olam haba. This world represents a hallway or an antechamber before the next world. Haskein atzmecha beprozdor, kishtei shetikanes letraklin. You should prepare yourself in the hallway, in the antechamber, so you can enter the ballroom. It's a Mishnah that we've spoken about before. It's understanding that, and this is really what I was thinking about when I was listening to Hadass speak about her husband. His whole life was preparation. She said he didn't die a heroic death, which he did. He gave his life for Am Yisrael, for Medina Yisrael, for Knesset Yisrael. But she said his whole life, everyone knew who he was. She said, that last picture is so emblematic. He didn't have time to take off his shoes because all Alicia wanted to do was learn Torah. And we have to ask ourselves, are we living lives where we understand that this world is so fleeting? This world passes by so quickly? This world is only the gateway to the next world. Do we live lives where this world is the end all and the be all? Or do we live with the understanding that every single thing I do must be a testimony to the person I am, of choosing to see this world simply as a gateway to the next world? And therefore the Mishnah tells you this world is a hallway before the next world. Haskein atzmecha. And I just thought of something actually as I'm speaking, actually that I never thought of before. Perhaps that can also be read, not only prepare yourself in the hallway, but hatkein atzmecha. I just thought of something so nice I literally never thought of. Be misakin yourself. Correct yourself. It's not only prepare yourself. You know the word tikkun, a rectification or a repair? Maybe Rabbi Yaakov is telling us, haskin atzmecha b'prozdor, make sure while you still have the opportunity in this world, you are misakin who you are. Make sure you find Torah and mitzvahs as a tikkun for the Yetzer Hara, as a rectification repair for our failings, because we all have them or we wouldn't be human beings. But recognize that only while you are in this world can you be misakin yourself for the next world. Once you get there, there's no more tikkun. Prepare yourself by being misakin our failings in this world so you can enter into the ballroom. I want to share with you something very interesting that I never noticed before this year. And it really struck me this year. I'm going back to Bereishis Perek Mem Gimel. Miketz. Perek Mem Gimel is the second time the brothers come down for food. They come down for food the first time. Yosef puts them in jail for 3 days. He accuses them of being spies. He keeps Shimon. They go back, but he gives them a warning. Don't come back without your younger brother or you're not getting more food. Yehuda needs to convince Yaakov that Yehuda will guarantee the boy and he must send the boy with them in order to get food. Finally, they're all going to die of starvation. Yehuda's like, listen, if we go back with Binyamin, he might be lost, he might not be lost. But if we don't go back, we're all going to die. I will guarantee him. Yaakov sends Binyamin. They go back a second time for food. Bye. Vayava Yosef habaisa, vayavilo esamincha. Oh, 1 second. That's a mistake. That's a double pasuk. 1 second. I need to erase this pasuk, okay? 1 second. This pasuk should not be here. I just copied and pasted incorrectly. Let's start again. Vayava ha'ish asanashim beisa Yosef. The man, the emissary, Soloveitchik speaks about the mysterious Ish, who plays a prominent role in the story of Yosef and the brothers, but okay, the Maisa. But Yaveh Ha'ish Asanashim Besa Yosef, and the man, whoever the steward of the home, brings the men to the house of Joseph, because remember, they're not treated like anyone else who comes to buy food. They're wined and dined in the house of the viceroy. They're also interrogated by the viceroy. They are brought to the house of Joseph, and they have quarters for the animals, and they're shown the facilities, and they give them water, they wash their feet, and there is straw for the camels, for the donkeys actually, and they're being taken care of. And they prepare the tribute that they brought. Remember, Yaakov says, fine, if you're going down, then you need to take of Mezimras Haaretz, you need to take the beauty of the land, a little bit of lotus, a little bit of almonds, take some honey, take some presents for the men. So they prepare the tribute that they brought until Yosef comes in the afternoon because they heard that there they will eat bread. Wow, we're going to have a meal with Joseph. No, they don't know it's Joseph. I shouldn't have said that. We're going to have a meal with the viceroy. Vayava Yosef habaisa. And Yosef comes to the house. So Yosef comes to the house. Whatever he's doing, busy feeding the viceroy. It's the time for the afternoon meal. He comes to the house. And they give him the present that is in their hands in the house. And they bow down. He asks after, he says, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? And he says, so what is the peace? In other words, what's the status of your old father? Is he still living? So they say, Shalom la'avdecha, la'avinu adenu chai, wonderful, vayuktu, vayishtachvu, and they say, yes, we're good, father's good, they bow down, vayisha, and if he lifts his eyes and he sees Binyamin, his brother, the son of the same mother. And he says, is this your younger brother that you told me about? And they said, wow, God should be gracious to you, my son. And Yosef hurried up because his mercy was aroused towards his brother and he wanted to cry. So he goes into the room and he cries and he washes his face. And he comes out and he's able to withhold Ipuk. He holds back and he says to his servants, put a bread on the table. And they set a separate table for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians by themselves. The Egyptians can't eat with the Hebrews because it is an abomination for the Egyptians to eat with the Hebrews. And he seats them according to the status of Bechor. He knows who the birth status. He bangs in the Gavir, Rashi says. And he says, Reuven, you're the Bechor, sit here. Shimon, you're the next. Yeah, Levi, you're next. And they're like astonished. How does he know their birth order? Fine. Vayismu anashim mishirayu. They're like totally astonished. They don't know what's going on here. And then he gives out the portions and he gives Binyam an extra portion. Fine. I noticed this year, and I never noticed it before. I don't know why. I mean, I read it every year, but it didn't strike me until this year. They're waiting for Yosef to come to the house. Now remember, Yosef's about to see them for the first time in 2 years because they're coming for more food. And he knows that if Binyamin's there and they all bow down to him, which they do, this is the fulfillment of the first dream. The bundle of sheaves in the field. I'm sorry, not the stars and the moon are not yet. That's when Yaakov comes down. But the bundle, the sheaves bowing down to him, that has to include everybody, including Binyamin. Even though Binyamin was involved in the set. There's a machokas between Rashi and Ramban when the first dream's fulfilled. The Maisha, okay. Accordingly, they're going to bow down to him. They're going to be at his mercy. It's his prime opportunity for him maybe to take Nakana. He got to see Binyamin, which he wants. And maybe now that they brought down Binyamin, he could take revenge. He has to make a crucial decision. How to behave when he sees the brothers. He's about to reveal himself. He knows that after a certain amount of time, he's going to reveal himself. Once the dream is fulfilled, he's going to reveal himself. If Binyamin is there, it's time for the reveal. Vayava Yosef Habaisa. So that is a crucial, crucial moment in this narrative. Yosef comes to the house. Now he knows that they're in the house. Presumably the servants said, listen, you have people waiting for you in the house. Those brothers came back from Canaan. They're here to buy more food. And he has to make a decision of how to behave with the brothers now that he sees them again. Vayave Yosef Habaisa. I want to show you what Rashi says. I don't know why it never struck me as particularly significant before, because I read this Rashi every single year, and I do Parsha Chumash with Rashi, but this year it really stood out. Yosef's coming home. Hadass said, my husband Elisha did not need to leave me a goodbye letter. His whole life was lived with such an exactness in Avodas Hashem, such midaktik bin Adam Makum, bin Adam Chavero, bin Adam Atzmo, that everyone who knew Elisha knew who he was. There was nothing left unsaid. Everyone knew how he felt about them because of his behavior. He didn't even have time to take off his boots because all he wanted to do when he got out of the tank was learn Torah. Vayave Yosef Habaisa. Look at Rashi. Maybe you know Rashi. Maybe you know it's not a surprise to you. Maybe you remember the Rashi and whatever. Okay, you knew this all the time. I mean, I also knew it. I just never struck me. I don't know why. You know what Rashi says? Mi prosdor litrakin. I was very taken when I read this, when I learned this Rashi this year in Parshas Miketz. In fact, I just mentioned it to my son the other week. I said, you know what Rashi says on Vayava Yosef Habaisa? Two words. Mi prosdor litrakli. Now, on the pshat, Rashi's telling you that Joseph left the hallway. I don't know, presumably there was an antechamber to his royal quarters. He went from the antechamber and he entered the dining room. Okay, there's a vestibule, there's a hallway. And he left the hallway, he left the path of going to the main portion, and he entered the main portion of the house, the dining room, to sit with his brothers. But clearly, it's not an accident that Rashi is paraphrasing the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. Rashi's telling you, I think, something much deeper about Yosef. I wrote in my notes, I have never noticed this before. I was very intrigued by this Rashi. I'm quoting my own notes. Rashi is obviously quoting the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. This is not random. What is Rashi telling us about Yosef? Perhaps, I wrote, Rashi is teaching us that everything that Yosef did was with the kavana to prepare for the next world. If Rashi wants, first of all, Rashi didn't need to quote this at all. But Yavei Yosef Abaisa is pretty obvious. Yosef came to the house. Why does Rashi even need to tell you? He left the antechamber of the house to enter the dining room. Who cares? Why does Rashi even need a comment on Vayavi Yosef Abaisa? Everyone knows what it means. Does Rashi really need to tell you? And second of all, if he wants to tell you, he entered the dining room, so just tell me. He entered the Nechnas the Cheder Ochel. Why does Rashi specifically quote the Mishnah from Pirkei Avos? He doesn't allude to Pirkei Avos. He doesn't say Rabbi Yaakov says in Pirkei Avos. He just says two words. He puzzled the tracker. So if you're just skimming Rashi and not paying attention, that you learn that Yosef went from the antechamber to the dining room to the ballroom to sit with his brothers. But if you're thinking a little bit deeper, all of a sudden you wonder, what exactly is Rashi telling me? Yosef's entire life, he was one of a Baal Machshava. His whole life, he was miskaved. His life was not random. Maybe Rashi is telling us, I wrote in my notes, that everything Yosef did was with the kavana to prepare for the next world. I'm about to see my brothers. I'm about to potentially reveal myself. If they brought Binyamin and they all bow down to me, according to the Ramban, it's the fulfillment of the first dream. Maybe it's my opportunity to take revenge. Hadass said that Elisha's whole life was lived. She said he was a hero in life. He was truly, she quoted the Mishnah. She said he was an Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Et Yitzro, she said. Elisha, she said, was a courageous warrior. Why? Not because he fought Hamas, Yimach Shemam, Zichram in the Gaza Strip, because she said his whole life he lived by conquering his evil inclination. Yosef has a choice. Destroy the brothers like they destroyed your life. Throw them in jail like they threw you into the pit. Strip them naked and put them with snakes and scorpions. Let them see what's coming to them. Keep in Yamin. Yavei Yosef Abaisa, it's a crucial moment when a person enters the home. And he has to think to himself, how shall I behave with the people in my home? Maybe I had a hard day. Maybe I want to take it out on somebody. Maybe I want to start screaming. Maybe someone annoyed me, so I want to give it back to them. Yavei Yosef Abaisa, it's Givaldik. Rashi says two words. Miprosdar the Trakli. I think, I suggest, that Rashi is not just telling you geographically where Yosef went in the house. He doesn't need a comment on that at all. Vayavei Yosef Abaisa, Pshat is pretty obvious. Yosef came to his house. And if you want to tell me he entered the dining room, so tell me, enter the dining room. Maybe Rashi is telling us that everything Yosef did was with the kavana to prepare for the next world. Nothing was random. Nothing was by rote. Nothing was thoughtless. He always lived a life being miskaven. Is this what Hashem wants from me? Is this preparing to enter the ballroom? Where's the ballroom? And the next world, not this world. This world is just a passageway. But that said, my husband lived a heroic life. He conquered his Yetzer, Gibra Kovesh et Yitzro. And she says, that was Elisha, Hashem Yikom Damo. She said, he died for Am Yisrael. He died for Eretz Yisrael. He died for Medina Yisrael. But she said, he lived for Am Yisrael. He lived for Torah Yisrael. And he lived for Medina Yisrael. The interviewer asked her an interesting question. How are you managing since the seventh night of Pesach? Pesach, why do I say that? Because my class right before this was talking about Pesach. She said, how are you managing? The interviewer said to her, how are you managing since the seventh night of Hanukkah? This woman is if her husband was a hero, she's Tirba Kamosa B'Yisrael. She said, I will tell you. Let me state one thing and be very clear. She said, my life did not change on the seventh night of Hanukkah. She said, the night my heart was broken. She said, the night everything changed was on October 7th. She said, not on the seventh night. The seventh night of Hanukkah was when Elisha fell. She said, the night, the day, the time my heart was broken and everything changed was on 7 October. Because she says, if all of Am Yisrael's brothers, and this is a fight against the entire nation, and we are all brothers, so my heart broke on 7 October. She said, I knew there was a risk when I was sending Elisha into battle. I knew he could be killed when he went into Gaza. But this is a Mechamet Mitzvah. And then she said, you know, it didn't really start on 7 October either. It started with other previous terror attacks on the cost of living in Eretz Yisrael. She said, Elisha was killed because he was a Jew. She said, it wasn't an attack. Someone came to the house and said, are you Elisha Lowenstern? And I'm looking for you. She said, that's not why he was killed. She said, he was killed for one reason, because he was a Jew. So it wasn't an individual personal killing. It was a national killing. So she said, you know, after she said, my life didn't change on 7-night Hanukkah. She said, my life changed. The life of the nation changed on 7 October. She said, but you know, actually, it changed before that. With all the other people who gave their lives for Medina Israel and Eretz Israel. So I'm wondering, were the angels still in the room when the gates of hell opened and a terrorist emerged lusting for Jewish blood? Did the angels witness the monster butcher the father, the son, and the daughter? Did the angels hear the screams of the gravely injured mother? Did they feel the terror of the children hiding for their lives in a bedroom? Did they smell the metallic tang emanating from a kitchen drenched in blood? July 2017. I remember it so clearly. I can't believe it was so many years ago. Did they sense the quaking, the convulsion of cosmic order when the innocent are murdered? And when at last, Seidchem l'shalom, malachei shalom, malachei elyon, when they returned to the Most High, were the angels still weeping? And Hadassah said, you know, my life did not change on the 7th night of Hanukkah. And then she said, my life did not change on 7 October. What about all the victims before? She said, this wasn't that someone came to the door and said, is Elisha here? And killed Elisha for being Elisha. He was killed, she said, for one reason, for being a Jew. The same reason all the victims of October 7th were killed. She said, you know, the same reason all the victims before that were killed. She said, the same reason my great-grandfather was killed during the Shoah, during the Holocaust, for being a Jew. And then she said, you know, my life changed the minute I was born into this nation because of the destiny of Am Yisrael. And what about my great-grandfather who was killed in the Shoah? And what about his grandfather and his grandfather? She said, you know what? Our life didn't even change then. You know when our life changed? She said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be his nation, that's when our life changed. This woman is brilliant. She is such a heroine of Israel. She has such a clarity. She has such a courage. She has such a hope. The interviewer said to her, you're so strong, you're giving everyone else chizek. You know, some people get annoyed by the small things in life. They can't find the parking spot. I forget the examples he gave. She said, but here, you have something so huge and you handle it with such equanimity. You know what she said? She said, I get annoyed about the small things. She said, I could put my children on the screen and they could tell you. She says, if someone opens a cereal box and there's already a cereal box open, why did you do that? There's already one open. She says, they could tell you how I scream about the small things. She said, but this is not a personal thing. This is national. And so my life did not change on 7-night Hanukkah. And it didn't change on 7 October. And it didn't change with all the victims of Rachmana Litzlan, the Paley brothers, Ari Fold, Halal Yafa Ariel, the Salmon family, Rav Moshe Twersky, Dr. David Applebaum. It changed when I was born, because I was born into this nation. And actually before that, with the victims of the Shoah, and actually before that, she said, you know what? Actually, all the way before that, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be his nation, the Psukim tell us, could you see it, says Shemos 19? The Psukim tell us, B'chodesh HaShlishi, she says, you know when everything changed? The moment God chose us as his nation. Actually, I'm not going to start on Shavuos 19. I'm going to start on this week's Parsha. Hadassah said, not the 7th night of Hanukkah, not October 7th, not all the previous Karbanot from Medina Israel, Dayenu, 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 not with my great-grandfather and the flames of the Shoah, not his grandfather and his grandfather and all the pogroms and the libels and the burnings that happened before. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be his Am Segula. And this week's parasha tells us, right? The Elkim and Moshe Vayomer Avani Hashem. Elkim spoke to Moshe and he said to him, I am God. And I appeared to the forefathers, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bekelsha, Kayushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. I made promises, but I didn't fulfill to them in their lifetime. And I also uphold the covenant that I made with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their sojourns. וגם אני שמעתי את נעקת בני ישראל אשר מצרים מעבידים אותם. ואז קורא את בריתי. God says to Moshe, and I have also heard the groans of the children of Israel, that the Egyptians are enslaving them. And I remember my covenant. Says the great Kotzk, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mikotzk, Soyagen Elinu. Why does it say, and I also heard the groans of the children of Israel, that the Egyptians are enslaving them? I remember my covenant. Why doesn't God just say, I've heard the groans of the children of Israel, that the Egyptians are enslaving them? I also means I join with. If it says, if I say I am going to share, I'm going to share. If I say I am also going to share, it means someone else is joining the share with me. That's v'gam ani shamati. So the Kotzker Rebbe says, Kosh Baruch Hu says, when Jews feel the pain of each other, when they hear the groans of one another, when they suffer together, and they're nosi ba'olim chaver, which is also Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, v'gam ani shamati, I join in with them. When Am Yisrael is one, and they have the capacity, the heart, the mind, and the empathy to share the pain of another Jew. Did we think about the nine soldiers who, Rachman Hatzan, were announced clear for publication this morning that they were killed? Did we see their names, look at their pictures, say a kapitel of Tehillim, say Shema Kolenu, Hashem Elkenu, Chusfrachim Elenu? Did we think about them when we say, Rishlaim Yerecha Barachim Tashu? Did we think of nine families burying in the ground of Eretz Yisrael, their beloved ones? Kosh Baruch Hu says, "Vegam anisha mati edna kapenesha." When we are nosei ba'olim chaveiro, which is one of the midas by which Torah is acquired, which is in Perak Vav, Pirkei Avos. Kosh Baruch Hu says, "When you hear the groans of each other, I also hear." And Kol Yisrael are ravim zeh bazeh. Vegam anisha mati. I also hear the groans. When you hear the groans, I join, and then you're ready for redemption. And therefore say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem. Lotseisi eschem mitachos sivos mitzrayim. You all know the Arba Lashon of Ke'ula. Litzalti eschem me'avodasam. V'ga'alti eschem bizranatu v'shvatim begadolim. I will take you out, I will redeem you. Not in that order, sorry. I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you. V'lakachti eschem li la'am v'yisi lechem le'elokim. I will take you to me as a nation. And I will be to you for a God. The Arba Lashon of Geula, the fourth, is referring to Matan Torah. Kosh Baruch Hu chose us to him, to be a nation unto him. And he is unto us a God. And you'll know that I am Hashem who takes you out from under the oppression of Egypt. But that said, they're asking me if my heart was broken, if my life changed on 10-7. I said, my life changed the day I was born. And even before my great-grandfather. And before all the millennia of Jews, my life changed the minute Kosh Baruch Hu took us to him as a nation. Lakachti eschem li la'am. And the ancient quote of the Gemara tells us that the Torah was given at Har Sinai. I'm sure you've heard this. Sinai is like the word sinah, hatred. Now I'm in Shemos chapter 19. Here also we are chosen. What does the Kosh Baruch Hu say to us by the time of Matan Torah? And if you will listen to my voice and guard my covenant, and you will be for me segula, more precious, more designated, set aside from all the other nations, atem tiyuli mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. We are charged with being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Adal said, this is when our lives changed. Sinai, as I'll say, it's from the word sinah, hatred. Nations of the world eternally hate us. Because we bring a higher morality. Anochi Hashem, lo yia, lo tisa. Zachar Hashem Shabbos Kadjo, Kabez V'chavas Yimech, lo tirtzach. What, lo tirtzach? Why would we not want to murder? Lo tinaf. Do not commit gilui arayis, don't commit adultery. We thrive on such things. Sinai is from sina. For the morality, for the ethics, for the elevated life that we live, they hate us. So you ask me, well, my life changed. My life changed when I was chosen to be part of Am Yisrael. Rabbi Yaakov tells us, "Olam is Adom el Prosdar." This world resembles a holly. Haskein atzmecha beprosdar, kadei shetikanes l'trakli. You must not only prepare yourself, you must be misakein yourself. And everything that we do, we have to ask ourselves: am I sending clear messages to the people with whom I share this life? Do they know who I really am? Do I make it very clear how I feel about them? Do I need to leave a goodbye letter on Me'eves Shem Shana? Does everybody know my emotions, my goals? Do I know my emotions and my goals? Do I recognize that this world is simply, not simply, this world is the hallway? But the eternal world is where we're all going. And how will we enter the eternal world? Only with what you prepare for your journey beforehand. How moving is it that Rashi tells us, Vayave Yosef Habaisa, Miprasdar Tuert, the Traklin. Maybe Rashi is teaching us that everything in Yosef's life was a preparation for the next world. His emuna, which was unwavering, his interaction with his brothers and never taking revenge, he was able to forgive, he was able to forgive, he was able to be kind to the people who saw them. The Kiddush Hashem he made in Mitzrayim, the faith with which he professed in his final moments on his deathbed, his belief in Geula and his love for Eretz Yisrael. Yosef's whole life was Miprasdar L'Traklin. And that's what we have to ask ourselves, every single one of us. How do I live my life? It's a tough question. It's a serious question. Is everything I do, say, think, feel, speak, understanding that everything we do here is a preparation for the next route? The Gam Anisha Matias Nakas B'nei Yisrael? When you hear the groans of each other, when you feel to the best of our ability the pain of another Jew, when we say Tehillim for another Jew, when we cry because the ground of Eretz Yisrael is taking so many of our wonderful sons, I also want a part in that, and then the Geula comes. And we have to ask ourselves, do we appreciate the destiny of being part of Am Yisrael? Like the brilliant wisdom and the courage of Hadass Lowenstern, Shatecha. And do we live lives? The answer is no, I do not live a life like that. But can I strive to live a little bit higher, like Elisha lived Hashem Yikom Dama? Not only did he die a hero, he lived his whole life. She said, Ezo Gibar Kovesh Et Yitzro. He lived a heroic life. Ayave Yosef Habaisa. Miprasdar L'Traklin. I thank Gail Hoffman very much, Gail. Shir is totally in your merit and in your schus, and it should be a heilige aliyah neshama for Yaakov Shimon ben Achanan Pesach, Zichrono Levracha. The yahrzeit is, as we learn, Bo Bayam, Shama Shalom and Aliyah, to the highest place in the Shamayim next to the Kisya HaKavod. We should share a week of Bisuros Tovus, Yeshuos, Nechamos, and Be'ezer Hashem, Agein Chodesh, Avigula, for Asana of Klaisha. Next week's shir is on Tuesday evening at 8:15 p.m. I just want to remind everybody that our shir runs on sponsors. So if you are ever able to take a turn, please reach out to me. Thank you so much to all.